The worlds inhabited by our favorite movie characters are usually described on screen by the built environments they navigate. Architecture and design have been a major part of movie storytelling since the earliest films, and an ongoing monthly film series focuses the spotlight on the role of architecture in telling screen stories. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. My guest today is Jennifer Hill, Library and Writing Lab Director for Texas Tech University's College of Architecture in El Paso. The college's architecture film series returns to the El Paso Museum of Art this spring, and Jennifer Hill has returned to the program to discuss the new series offerings. Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to hear from you. You had a series going through most of last year. How did that come off for you?
The numbers are getting better, which
Good.
Is great.
Yeah. But you've been showing great films. I know just recently you had Blade Runner, Mulholland Drive, In the Mood for Love, a really eclectic mix. But are you hoping to achieve with this series, going back to why you started it?
Well, I started it because I have such an interest in both.
Yeah.
But I think that the way architecture and film and photography tie together, and actually painting even, and sound, acoustics, is really, really interesting. And film is the vehicle for addressing the art and the sound and everything that is involved in a building, actually, because each building has its own tones and colors. And it just kind of is a nice way to tie it all together.
Yeah, as someone who grew up loving film but then later studied architecture and I am a registered architect. It was always strange to me that in architecture school, we didn't talk that much about cinema and the construction of cinema space and how it's used in films to alter our perception of character or mood. I think that's changing. I mean, that was, 25 years ago that I was in architecture school. But I seem to see more and more books and articles about this topic, bridging that academic gap with architecture schools.
I think so, too. I've noticed a lot of articles recently about Wim Wenders, who I'd like to talk about a little bit, maybe not at this moment. But people are noticing that he's a guy who came from a painting background, very interested in architecture, storyteller, painter. So the colors, the stories, the buildings, the sound, really loves music, too. He sort of has found a way to tie all of his interests together and make people more aware of what a building in a landscape can do.
You're launching off into a new four-month series here. You're going to be meeting the first Saturday of every month. Is that right?
That's right.
El Paso Museum of Art in their theater there.
Energy Auditorium.
The admission is free, which is the best part, and you've got an amazing roster coming up. Let's start with next Saturday at 11 a.m. What are you showing? February 6th.
Okay. That's the Grand Hotel, which was made in 1932.
Yep.
And it set industry standards for art direction and set dressing, and it won the Academy Award for the Best Picture.
Yes. One of a number of films you're showing that won Best Picture, I see.
Yes.
Was that a theme, Best Picture Oscar winners?
No,
Or just happened?
It just
Good
happened.
Coincidence.
It just so happened. This one I thought was really interesting because of the fact that there's this one stationary, the front desk, which is the sort of all-seeing eye of the hotel, and all these things pass in front of it, and everybody says, oh, nothing happens here. But in fact, that's where everything happened.
Right.
And it has Greta Garbo and John and Lionel Barrymore in it. And
Joan Crawford.
Great stars.
Big. This was one of those early films that kind of created a new type of film. This was made at MGM, and the great Irving Thalberg was the producer. But these studios that had all these amazing actors under contract, this was one of the early examples of when they just throw all of their actors into a movie, sort of a cavalcade of stars, I like to say. And this is built around this grand hotel, which you mentioned, this nexus point of the lobby and the passing of all of these characters and how they interact with one another. Initially, maybe we think they're all disconnected, but as we get to know them, we see how their lives overlap and how the architecture of this grand hotel fosters that or allows for separation.
Yeah.
And a lot of people know clips, and there's a lot of great lines from this film. It's from the golden age. So if people are fans of classic film or have never seen a classic film, this is a great example of come out. So the next month in March, March 5th, that is, something a lot more contemporary.
Gladiator. And I chose Gladiator because I wanted to do a couple films that were in historic locations. Hmm. And so Rome. Part of it was filmed in the Colosseum.
Yeah.
And they reconstructed the rest of the Colosseum through the computer.
And there's some great shots of Rome itself, you know,
yes.
giving you a sense of how it was laid out and just the amazing architecture and urban design of Rome, at least at its height. This film came out in 2000, also won the Best Picture.
Yes, among many other things, 5 Academy Awards.
Yeah.
But also interesting that this movie is supposed to be, well, there's some contention about whether it was historically accurate or not, but a lot of people say it actually left out a lot of things because they felt like people wouldn't believe how gruesome some of the things were. They just would think it was over the top.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And this is, I think Russell Crowe also won the Best Actor that year for this film.
Yes, he did.
Russell Crowe is, I guess, starts out a Roman legionnaire who's becomes a slave and then builds his way back up to being a gladiator to exact his revenge on the emperor and been taken to the Roman and Colosseum. And it is gruesome in parts. I think it is rated R. But
yes.
The great Ridley Scott directed the film, who's back in the news for his film The Martian this year, which is picking up lots of awards. But visually impressive. Ridley Scott's, all of his films have a rich visual narrative to them. So Gladiator, Joaquin Phoenix is also in that. And I think that was Richard Harris's or Oliver Reed's last role, too.
Yes, it was. Yeah. I love Oliver Reed.
Yeah, Oliver
Loved.
Reed.
Yes, he's gone. That was his. I think he died like the day before the film wrapped.
So another sort of historical epic in April. You're going to China this time.
Yes, with the last
Around
emperor.
The world with architecture film series, The Last Emperor.
Well, because last time I didn't get to put that many historic films in there, so I really wanted to put some in this one. And this one was filmed in the Forbidden City, which is really a fascinating place. 1420 to 1912, it was occupied and was the site of the Chinese Imperial Palace. And they did film it there, which is great. It wasn't exactly as it was back in the day, but I thought it was really interesting, and it made me research the Forbidden Palace. I got interested in seeing what the story was behind it and why it was called the Forbidden Palace.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because no one was could ever leave or enter without the emperor's permission.
Truly a sprawling, almost like its own city,
yeah,
a walled
definitely.
City. I remember when it came out, I hope I'm not misrepresenting it, but I think this was just about the first time a non-Chinese film crew was allowed to film inside the Forbidden City.
Oh.
The Chinese gave, that was what, Bernardo Bertolucci, the Italian director. And so it's got these amazing, lavish, widescreen compositions of this incredible real, not sets, real buildings in China, as opposed to Gladiator, which is mostly digitally recreated.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be a feast for the eyes. But Vittorio Storaro, who did the cinematography, I think was also nominated. But this film, The Last Emperor in 1987, also won the Best Picture. So you've got three Best Picture winners all right around the time of the Oscars. So if for Oscar files maybe who want to learn a little bit about architecture and cinema, you've put together a great series of Best Picture winners as well.
Thank you.
With The Last Emperor, are you looking more at Chinese architecture? Is that why you chose that? Or just because of its grandness of seeing more of an urban design palette that the story unfolds in?
Well, I really wanted to do a historic location that was not a recreated set. And also the fact that this place was occupied for over 500 years and was basically untouched for a very long time. It was pillaged a lot in the late 1800s, early 1900s. But for the most part, it was left as it was in the 1400s, which is just incredible in this day and age.
Right. And the detail that the camera captures, and of course the story itself is fascinating, of the last emperor of China just before the revolution.
Who took the throne at age three.
Yeah, it's told in flashbacks of, you know, remembering parts of his life. I think it begins actually with the Revolutionary Guard coming in and overthrowing the emperor. But something very different in May, beginning to get ready for summer. It feels like a summer movie.
It is
a very recent film from 2012, Moonrise Kingdom.
Yes, which is a PG PG-13, and it was set in the 60s, and it's a film about two 12-year-olds that meet and fall in love and run away.
Yes.
And it is just really a great little film. And I chose this one because Wes Anderson is really a nut about his sets,
yes.
And he builds a lot of things for his sets.
But Moonrise Kingdom, right, the director Wes Anderson that many might be familiar with, just lavishes all sorts of attention on every little detail of the built environment in his films.
And little design yeah. elements from, right. You know, costumes to napkins to whatever.
Phonographs, stereos, telephones.
It's almost too much, really.
Yeah, there's a sort of fetishism about it all. But it comes across as a slightly alternative universe. It feels very much like a regular 1960s, but with a twist. And so his films have put us in a very interesting place.
It's interesting, too, because the actors that he chooses are often a little quirky. You know, mm-hmm. they're just a little off-center. So yeah. It's sort of fetishistic.
Like his design.
Yeah, but they kind of make it work a little bit better.
All-star cast, Tilda Swinton, Bruce Willis, Bill Murray, Edward Norton, Frances McDormand. The fixation on design there, too, and the space that these characters move through it. I think as an entry point for people who haven't thought much about this when they casually watch movies, Wes Anderson is a great pick because you can talk about how most of what we see on screen didn't exist before the movie. And so somebody, an art director, a director, a production designer, creates these spaces that these characters inhabit. And once you start thinking about that, you realize everything you're seeing in the background and in these containers that the characters are in is a result of proactive design and
yeah.
is telling some kind of story itself. I want to wrap up with Wim Wenders. What attracts you to that German director?
Well, I stumbled across an article talking about how he shows architecture in such a glorious way, and he's one of these filmmakers that manages to make us see the beauty in kind of the urban decay also. Mm-hmm. And the contrast of those two things was sort of interesting to me. And he said, when he was talking about the relationship of landscape and architecture in his work, he said something about how focusing on a scene absent of anyone often amplifies the stories of everyone, which called to mind a lot of things like Days of Heaven, which is not a Wim Wenders film at all. It's a Terrence Malick film.
Terrence Malick, yeah.
But there's one house that features really prominently in that movie, and I cannot get that house out of mm-hmm. my mind. It's a Victorian Gothic farmhouse.
Yep.
Just weird in the middle of nowhere.
Kind of like in Giant.
Yeah, and it's yeah. obviously symbolic.
Jennifer, I'm so happy that you and the College of Architecture are doing this film series still. So best of luck to you in the new year.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
My guest today has been Jennifer Hill, Library and Writing Lab Director for Texas Tech University's College of Architecture in El Paso. We've been discussing the college's ongoing monthly film series and its spring schedule. Next Saturday, February 6th, the series will screen the 1932 Best Picture Oscar winner, Grand Hotel, at 11 a.m. in the El Paso Museum of Art's Energy Auditorium. Admission is free, and for more information on this film and upcoming screenings, please call Texas Tech's College of Architecture at 594-2030. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.